Tejasvinavaditamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So what did we speak the last time? What was the subject? You remember? Yeah? Okay. Sangha Tyaga. We finished with this laulium, but then we spoke about the next verse, number 3. We just mentioned the laulium from the previous one, and then we spoke about the 6 principles favorable for devotional service, which start with utsaha nischaya. Utsaha means enthusiasm. What is enthusiasm? What is the definition of enthusiasm? Yes. Yes. Yes, with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. Very good. And then nischayat is
confidence,
which means basically that we should be convinced that just by performing devotional service we will get anything that is really beneficial for us. Everything that we really want, it will come just by performing bhakti. There is no need of any other process. And then dairyat means
patience.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna must be merciful to me today or in 100 years or in some future birth. I will take shelter of his lotus feet with determination and never leave. And we gave the example of Srila Prabhupada, who was very patient, and this is the reason why we are here. Otherwise, if he was not patient, and he would have... Yes? Mukunda Datta? Yeah, yeah, okay. Jai Maharaj. Yes, this is the pastime of when Lord Chaitanya was Hare Krishna. Jai Maharaj. He was performing this pastime, Mahaprakash Lila, showing that he is the Supreme Lord and giving blessings to all the devotees, and then but he would not call for Mukunda. And then the devotees were asking, what about Mukunda? And then Lord Chaitanya said, no, I don't want to see him in the next... I want to see him. And then... because Mukunda was... what was the reason? He was apparently acting as an impersonalist. No, he was going to the classes of some impersonal philosophers. Okay, then Lord Chaitanya did not appreciate this, and he said, "I don't want to see him." And then the devotees were very morose. Then they requested Lord Chaitanya to forgive him, and then Lord Chaitanya said, "Okay, I'll tell him he'll be able to see me in 10 million lifetimes." Then Mukunda, when he heard this, he became very ecstatic. Yeah, this is a very good example of patience. Can you imagine this 10 million lifetimes? we become disturbed if we follow 20 years and nothing happens. Let's speak about 10 million lifetimes. Okay, very important. Then the other example was the married girl. You remember this analogy? And then the next item, tat karma pravartanat. It is translated here. Following the regulative principles in Krishna consciousness. These are the activities we have to do which are favorable for bhakti. Basically. As Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, page 33, as already explained, one should not be idle, but should be very enthusiastic about executing the regulative principles, tat karma pravartanat. Neglect of the regulative principles will destroy devotional service. In this Krishna consciousness movement, there are four basic regulative principles, forbidding illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. A devotee must be very enthusiastic about following these principles. If he becomes slack in following any of them, his progress will certainly be checked. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends tat karma pravartanat. One must strictly follow the relative principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. In addition of these four prohibitions, yama, there are positive regulative principles, niyama, such as the daily chanting of 16 rounds of japamala beads. These regulative activities must be faithfully performed with enthusiasm. This is called tat karma pravartanat, or varied engagement in devotional service. So we see here enthusiasm is actually included in tat karma pravartanat, in this principle. So enthusiasm includes knowledge, intelligence, then it is included in following the regulative principles. Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed when a disciple will tell him that he doesn't chant anymore 16 rounds, or he doesn't follow the principles. And Srila Prabhupada will say sometimes, well, you promised, and then if a gentleman gives his word, he has to follow. It's not that you promise something because you feel like doing it at the moment. Then in 1 year, you don't feel anymore doing this thing. So you're okay, you don't feel bad about this. You know, I was sincere when I promised. Now I'm sincere that I don't want to do this anymore. What's wrong? I'm just I'm just in touch with my inner self. You know, the inner child is talking to me. And Prabhupada didn't appreciate this. Although he would be forgiving and compassionate, especially to the sensual fall down. But still, it was not very nice. And then the next principle, Sangat Tyagat. Notice that this is mentioned also in the previous verse. So it must be something very important. According to the Vedic hermeneutics, if something is mentioned, something is repeated in a text that you study, you want to understand what is the message of this text. You have to look for certain things, the beginning, the end, things that are repeated there. That means this is very important. Things that are stressed, that are glorified, and things, elements which are introduced for first time. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, element of Naishkarmya is, we can say this, it is introduced there. And it is glorified there, it is repeated again and again, in the beginning and in the end. So it must be something very important. So here also, Sangha Tyagat, in the previous verse, what was the term there?
Jana Sangha.
Again, the same meaning, Asat Sangha. We should accept the association of devotees and we should reject Asat, the association of non-devotees. Here we have very interesting quotes from third canto of Bhagavatam. If therefore the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people. Here we are talking, Bhagavatam speaks about persons who just spend some time in hell. And then after being tortured there, they attain again first very low degraded bodies, but then they finally get again human form of life. And then then we start reading from this point. So if therefore the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people, engaged in the pursuits of sexual enjoyment and the gratification of the palate, how it goes?
Palate.
He again goes to hell as before. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, to associate with such materialistic men is to commit purposeful suicide in the human form of life. Even if one is, and later if you read in the purport, you see, even if someone is a faithful follower of some recognized religion, as like Hinduism or Christianity or Islam or whatever, if he's officially following this religion, goes to the temple, the church, follows the rituals, but if he can't give up association with such persons, then he goes to darkest region of hell again. This formal performance of rituals won't save him, because the bad association he is getting, it will actually contaminate his consciousness and he will commit sinful activities. Satovrite, the last item, following in the footsteps of the acharyas. Rupa Goswami writes in one place that devotional service which doesn't follow the Shruti and the Smriti, the footsteps of the great personalities, is just a disturbance in the society. So this is the same principle mentioned here. It is not whimsically done. And then if we follow in the footsteps of these advanced devotees, then we will develop all good qualities. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. For the devotees who perform devotional service in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, they develop all the good qualities of the demigods. And the opposite, if someone is not devotee, he doesn't have good qualities. Even he might appear as very pious. Why he doesn't have good qualities, actually? Bhagavatam explains, because he is, as Maharaj mentioned this morning, he's in a good mood, it seems that he is very pious. If he's in a bad mood, he doesn't act necessarily so nicely. That means that he follows his mind. If his mind is enlivened and he feels good, he will be pious. If he's not, then he will be impious. There is no higher principle that will guide him. Yes? Well, I can give you the reference. 5, 8, 12. We don't have here. I don't have it, unfortunately.
I think that's a point of contention for a lot of devotees, that non-devotees don't have any good qualities, so
It's important to understand how they don't have. Well, at least what I understood from reading this verse in purport is that the non-devotees, they will manifest some good qualities, apparently. But they will do this only if this suits their selfish goals and interests. And only if they feel comfortable. Because it is very easy to be good when you feel, okay, comfortable. Then, at the moment when there is some disturbance, they won't be so nice anymore. Because it is much more difficult to behave properly if you have some problem or if someone, let's say, is aggressive toward you, then they won't be nice necessarily. Yes?
Could we also see that it's temporary because than the devotional service, which is the only thing that's eternal. So in that way, it's useless, you know,
yeah.
Because it has
it's temporary. Yeah, exactly. Because it doesn't have any guidance from superior platform, you say, from the spiritual platform. It is all based on material sentiments, and the mind is very unsteady. Then it doesn't last for long.
And even if it does, even if someone's very steady in their life, a very rare person, it's still finished at the time of death.
And then next life won't be necessarily so nice. If he's not a devotee, he'll finally he'll have to commit sin and then go to hell. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Every endeavor is covered by fault. Sooner or later, like this story of this famous pious king from Krishna book, who ended up as a lizard king Niriga. Because it's some small mistake. He was not even. If you read the story carefully, you'll see. Like modern man, if he reads this story, he will say, "What is the fault of this king? There is no fault from on his behalf." But still, it is considered fault because this is the nature of the material world. The Brahmana was angry with him, and that's enough. He wanted to give him many, many other cows, but the Brahmana said, "No, I want my cow, not this other cow, my cow." And then this was considered fault. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Couldn't you also say that because he's only acting on the level of the mind, it's pranamoya or anamoya, he's not considering other people in the equation?
He would consider other people because this is part of the pranamoya. You consider all other living entities. You.
From the level of dharma, but from the level of the senses.
Yes. So not from the level of following dharma, because he doesn't accept dharma. He's an atheist.
And human life starts with
and human life starts from following dharma. They will consider other living beings, but only because this is suitable for their sense enjoyment. They just figure it out that if I want to enjoy, everybody else should be getting something, otherwise it's a too big, too much trouble. But it still is based on selfishness and on ignorance because they ignore Krishna and the Vedas.
Mataji. Is it considered violence to not give someone enlightenment about the soul, like to act on the level of the body? So if you're actually reinforcing someone's concept, bodily concept of life, that's violence. So that's another aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even if you're nice or you have some good qualities, if you're manifesting them and that's, as I said, reinforcing the bodily concept of life, it's
very good point. Yeah.
Ultimately, not positive at all.
No. Very good point. Because Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport, non-violence means preaching Krishna consciousness. If you don't preach Krishna consciousness, then that means you maintain. You commit some kind of violence. And, okay, so this is the verse 3. Questions on this? Points? Yeah, I was thinking about your point. This is one of the defects of the conditioned soul, that he will cheat others, even if he's not aware. And just by, even by displaying all these good qualities, if they are not connected to Krishna, this is also kind of cheating. Because as you said, as you pointed out, it will reinforce the bodily platform of life of everybody else. So even the material piety, if it is not connected to Krishna, it is still cheating, and that means violent. It is violent, because then the soul will have to take birth again and again. Very nice point. Yes, bro.
How can we develop and maintain qualities such as enthusiasm, confidence, patience? Because it's very easy to become enthusiastic
for
half an hour, one day, but to have it consistently. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, real enthusiasm, as Prabhupada mentioned, it is not, if it is real, then it shouldn't be just for half an hour. That means it is kind of sentiment. There was a special term for this. Forgot the term. Anyway, because in real enthusiasm is, there is a sentiment, but also there is a intelligence. So if the intelligence is properly applied, then it should last for longer. Not just 30 minutes. Then how to maintain? By knowledge, by understanding why this particular mood is good. Like if you, let's say you want to develop the habit of doing exercises every day, then when you start and when you do exercise, then you should think why this is beneficial for me, why I'm doing this. Then if you meditate like this, then you sustain this determination, you will do exercise every day. But if you do it mechanically, then at one point, most probably you will forget why you're doing it. Mm. Then you stop. Because it is trouble. It's austerity. You have to be motivated to do this, to go through this. So by knowledge and by thinking why you're doing this, how is this beneficial for you. And then by association with people who are already enthusiastic. Like, there are devotees like this. We are fortunate to know such devotees who are always blissful and enthusiastic. You've seen such devotees?
I was thinking the other day, I was sitting and chanting, and I just saw one devotee, and I remember every time I see him chant, he's so intense. Yeah. And just seeing him, he wasn't even chanting, but I just remembered how he is when he chants, and that made me feel enthusiastic.
Yes, knowledge, proper association. What else? Well, if we cultivate the mode of goodness, then it will become very obvious what we have to do. So this is also very helpful, because in the mode of goodness you can see things as they are, and then it will be very, very clear for you how you should mold your life. Sometimes the devotees are not sure what will be the next step in their life, and then usually the devotees pray to Krishna to reveal. And then it becomes very natural. Let's say you're in doubt. You don't know what to do. Should I go to this place or to that place? Should I marry or not? What kind of service I have to perform? Then if you pray to Krishna, especially to the deity in the temple, this is one of the recommended items. I think you should have spoken about this.
Yes.
To reveal your mind to the deity.
It wasn't said like that. Offering prayers to the deity was there.
With your own words.
Yes.
One of the items is you quote famous prayers.
Yeah, that's the other one. No, reciting notes.
Reciting, yes. But then also, together with this, along with this, you can also just reveal your mind. That means offer your own prayers. For sure, Prabhupada used to say, when there is some problem, you just go in front of the deities and you tell Gornitai, my dear sirs, this is the problem. So, kindly help me if this is your desire. So, in this way, it becomes very natural, all these things. Yes, bro.
I just remember that once Radhanath Swami, he was asked by a devotee how to develop sincerity, and his answer kind of can be applied in this case as well, because he said that, you know, you might not feel inspired to do something, but like if you have a job, and it's not like you don't go to work, you know, because you don't feel inspired to do it, you do it. So in the same way, you know, if you're standing in the kirtan and you don't feel inspired to dance, then you dance. Then from the activity, the
generates again. Like the example of this devotee, he didn't want to offer obeisances to Prabhupada. And he told Prabhupada, I just don't feel like paying obeisances to you. Prabhupada said, no, anyway, you do it, and then gradually you will feel inspired to do this. I always have problem, I must admit, with some people, people who they join and we try to cultivate them. Sometimes I stumble upon this problem. People telling me, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like chanting 16 rounds. But at the same time, you can see all these people. They don't feel like doing so many other things, but they do it. They do all these things. Like, let's say if he's a student, he cannot convince me that he... It is not true that he feels like every time when he goes for a lecture, it is like he's... He would rather be someone else. But he's doing it. That means he knows, he applies already this principle, but for Krishna consciousness, he doesn't want to apply. It's strange. So we shouldn't be like this also, because we do so many things that we don't like to do in life already. So why not for Krishna? Yes.
It's like Vaidhi Bhakti comes into Ravananda Bhakti. So what Lakshmi Bhakti was saying is, if you do it anyway, if you just, then you will get that.
Yeah, that's... The problem is that sometimes we are so deep in tamas that we just become paralyzed. We can't even move, can't do things. Yes, I like this. Yeah, we just. Yeah, I'm just going to read this one. it's 3:30. This verse clearly indicates, okay, let's read the verse. Therefore, Arjuna, surrendering all works into me with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, and with no claims to proprietorship and free from lethargy, fight. So here Krishna indicates the three modes of nature. With full knowledge of me. Yes, without desire for profit and no claims to proprietorship.
No
rajas. And free from lethargy. No tamas. Fight. And we can say with full knowledge of me, that means sattva, but also it means Shuddha Sattva, you overcome even Sattva Guna, full knowledge, meaning full knowledge of Bhagavan. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna consciousness to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because this is the constitutional position of the living entity. So, it might be difficult, but we should always try to take solace in the fact that this is our natural position. It is not superficial. If you go to the army, then, I mean the real army, I don't know how many of you have been.
You must have been.
Well, in my country, it was compulsory to go for 18 months. So I spent a year and a half in the army. So then it is something superficial. But Krishna consciousness, it is not superficial, it is natural. okay, and a little later. Yeah, in these countries where the army is compulsory, in my country, for example, it was well known that if you don't go to the army, you are not recognized as a as a man. You're still a boy. He didn't go to the army. Well, now, of course, all this is finished. There is no such idea anymore. There is no compulsory army. There is just professional army nowadays. But I was thinking that this is kind of substituting the Gurukul. Because he go to Gurukul to become like mature. Samastiyatalan. Samastiyatalan. Independent, like you don't depend on mama and dad anymore. This is what you learn in Gurukul. The same things you learn in army, and it's kind of substitute for the real Gurukul. And anyway, okay. So a very good point. Military discipline, of course, shouldn't be applied. Make it or break it, also. You'll lose quite some people if you do this. Quite some of us will break. Prabhupada gives the example of you fix the pot maker. He's using this hammer, but also he supports from so it doesn't break. So both things should be applied: force, like discipline, but also care and all these things, loving, caring, sharing, all this should be also there. Alright. Next verse. The Dati. Yes, who's going to read it for me? Alright, thank you.
Dadati prati grindati guhyam akhyati prichati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva sadvidham priti lakshanam.
Yep. Translation.
Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another.
Thank you. So we spoke about the how important is the desire. The desire actually controls our minds. We speak so much about controlling the mind, but the mind is controlled by something which is more subtle than the mind, which is desire. So the whole thing is about yoga and Krishna consciousness, is to change the nature of our desires, to purify our desires, and this purified desire will control the mind. So desires develop according to our association with things and with people. Basically, more important is association with people. Therefore, we want to associate with devotees only, with saintly persons. So in verses 4 and 5, it is explained what is this association, how it looks like. How to associate with devotees. If this is so important, how this process should be performed. And then, I would like to ask you, for tomorrow, you read carefully the purport, the verse, and then you pick up some things that are very relevant to you, practical, personally in your life. How do you understand, how do you apply these things in your life? From these six kinds of flowing exchanges. And tomorrow we'll start with this. You'll take over the class and you'll share. And I'll just listen. Okay? Is that okay?
Yes.
Feel enthusiastic about it?
Yes.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.